throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Football, 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 football on the docket. We got Jim Traber coming up at 9:30. We'll hit the college stuff in the next segment. OU holds on. Oklahoma State just demolished Tech. They're now in the Big 12 title game. So we know one participant that is going to be there next week at the Big 12 title game. We'll find out who the other one is this week. Also around the country, man, alive Ohio State. Woo! Holy Moses, were they good on Saturday, and just a demolition of Michigan State. Bama struggled a little bit with Arkansas. Utah popped the Oregon bubble in a big way. And, of course, it's Bedlam week. We'll talk some of that today. We'll get plenty of that in the next couple of days. High school football roundup. The Elk City Elks make the longest trip in the state of Oklahoma last Friday night and go to Grove and win 45-24. So they are in the semifinals for the first time since 2004. They'll face the Clinton Red Tornadoes as Clinton smothered Bristow. What was it, 30-6, 30-7? Yeah, final. Yep. So the Elks and Clinton, if you haven't heard, I know I was getting texts all weekend about where's the game? Elk City, Clinton, Weatherford at Southwestern, 7 o'clock Friday night. We'll say that probably 100 times between now and the end of the show on Wednesday, but that's what it is. 7 o'clock kick over at Southwestern between the Elks and the Clinton Red Tornadoes. Burns Flat, Dill City, their season ended. It was a tie game at half, and then Elmore City Purnell pulled away in the second half. And then also around 4A, Tuttle and Poto roll. And so that's the other semifinal in 4A. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Going to be outside the listening area. A couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things. It's got the radio stations. It's got the Penny News. And, of course, it's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, as I mentioned. We'll be over there, Big Elk TV, 7 o'clock on Friday night for the Elks and Clinton. Skinny on Sports podcast is also available on KADSAM.com or iTunes. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen that way. What's up, Jared?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Get all rested up.
I'm doing good. My lips aren't as chapped as what they felt like coming home on Friday.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I got those things kind of a little bit of moisture in there. My voice isn't as – it never got quite as crackly as it did the week before.
Yeah.
Which surprised me because at the time, with the wind blowing kind of more into our face for most of that night, I was afraid that was going to be happening. But I feel better than I did last week, so good to go. And, man – it's so ironic that, you know, first time in what, 17 years, 18 years that the Elks are back in the semifinals and the exact same opponent is standing there waiting with Clinton. Let's talk about what happened Friday night.
Yeah.
Up at Grove. Man, what a performance by the Elk City defense. Held Grove to exactly half of their season-long average. They were averaging just a shade over 47. They scored 24. You know, I think in both of these playoff wins for Elk City, there's been one common denominator, and that is the defense put its stamp on the game early. You know, over in Cushing, a couple of three and outs to start the game allowed the Elks to get a 7-0 lead. This week, it was even more than that. A three and out on the first, or I guess four plays. They got one first down on the first run, and then three more, and they punted. And then two fourth down stops, another three and out. And next thing you know, you looked up, it was 24-0 halfway through the second quarter with the Elks receiving the third quarter kick. And it was kind of – it definitely wasn't like, okay, we're moving on yet, just because of the explosiveness of Grove. And we saw some of that, there's no doubt. But you always kind of had – with the way that defense was playing and the way the Elks were running the football, you always kind of had a little bit of peace in that, even if it kind of gets a little bit hairy – the Elks can just turn around, hand it to number three, and he can roll them down the field. And that's kind of what happened to close that game outside of just the long bomb to Hughes that stopped all momentum that Grove had.
Right, and that's something I kept reiterating when it got within 10. I said you can't abandon what got you here and what got you to this point of the game. And I'm glad Elk City didn't do that. They were comfortable. They didn't panic when it was 31-21.
Yep.
And like you said, they handed it off to Day-Day and just controlled the clock, controlled the ball, and had an answer for everything that Grove threw at him. You know, and I've said it too. It's like, okay, if they want a shootout, we'll give them a shootout. And Culver was fantastic when he needed to be throwing the football. So, I mean, Big Elks are peaking at the exact right time of the year. I mean, are they? Or are they just simply the better team?
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
We talked on Friday.
You talk about X's and O's. You take away Crawford, then Elk City, we thought, was the better team when you match everybody else up against everybody else.
That's right. And here's the truth of it. When you looked out there, yeah, I mean, Crawford was every bit as explosive as advertised. That dude is a great player. There is no doubt about it.
Yes,
he is. I saw yesterday where he had tweeted out, he ended up with almost 2,500 yards on the ground. Total of like 2,900 receiving and running, scored over 40 touchdowns. I mean, that dude was awesome. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not even sure he was the best running back on the field on Friday night. Daylon, you could almost feel like he put it on his shoulders of, wait a minute,
everybody,
all we're
yeah.
hearing is about
yeah.
him. What about me? And he had 37 carries, 265, and a touchdown. And just the physicalness of the way he ran the football, you know, the 45-yard touchdown run, he was stopped for a 2-yard gain. And all of a sudden, he breaks away from three guys, and there he goes. You know, the highlight run of the night to me was at the end when, you know, it was another play where he nearly ends up in the end zone
right.
from about 25 out, and, you know, he's looking like he's going to get a 2 or 3-yard run. And all of a sudden, he's kind of stacked up, jumps outside, throws some guys down, and there he went again. And
right.
he ended up tackled at the 3. You know, it just he ran with a conviction that we see him do it all the time. I think maybe he's underappreciated a little bit just because everyone's so used to it. And, you know, after Friday, he's over 2,200 with 265 there as he came in. 1955. So yeah, 2,210 yards or whatever, 20 yards, whatever that is. I haven't done the math yet, but yeah, he's definitely no slouch. And so kudos to the Elks. I said it Friday night and I'll reiterate it here. The way that these guys have constantly bounced back from adversity throughout their entire careers. It's not just, you know, this season or whatever, but you think back when these guys were freshmen and some of them played. So some of them went through 20 straight on the losing end, 2 straight seasons of no wins.
Yeah.
And a majority of them went through the second one because, you know, a bunch of sophomores running around out there 2 years ago. And for that group to be here and even in season, with the way things have gone for these guys throughout their careers, you could understand after getting, you know, their teeth kicked in by Clinton a couple weeks ago, kind of having that the mindset of, well, you know what? Yeah, that stinks. And, man, we're going to make the playoffs, and you know, what a nice foundation we've set for the guys coming next. And they didn't do that at all. They came out, they really dominated the game against Newcastle, were able to kind of outlast Cushing. And they pretty well dominated on Friday night to get themselves back into a position to have another shot at Clinton. And you know good and well that they don't think 34-0 is the difference between those two teams. Now, it was that Friday night. There's no doubt. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, I think that a lot of those guys in the locker room up here over in Elk City will relish another chance just to be able to get out there and say, listen, state of Oklahoma, that ain't us.
Right. Yeah.
Is Clinton better? Probably. But they're not that much better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just where I think that these guys, kudos to them for getting that chance to maybe prove that
yeah.
on Friday night.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's what I was really – I think we were both really worried about after that loss against Clinton, that it – you know, sometimes you hear that cliche of a loss can beat you twice, you know, And with how that game went, I mean, just so deflating, leaving the man. We couldn't move the ball. Nothing worked, et cetera, et cetera. But they, you know, kudos to those guys. And that shows the maturity of those guys, able to bounce back and put together this nice run right now and now have another shot. And you're right, and I think everybody knows that. Even folks in Clinton know that 34-0 was not truly how close these teams are. You know what I mean? So it's going to be fun to see these two teams match up on Friday in a neutral site setting for a chance to go represent 4A1, the state championship game. And I was thinking about that yesterday. How cool is that? Of the four teams left, two of them are out of 4A1.
Only district with multiple teams left, right?
We were
right?
kind of questioning the 4A1,
for sure.
Right?
For sure.
I think we can put those to rest. I think 4A1 proved its worth with, and I think the two best teams are still alive in 4A1 right now, and it's representing well in Western Oklahoma. I like it.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, you know, because the Elks were beaten soundly by Bethany. But if you watch that game, it wasn't the spread of the way that game ended. But certainly the teams that are playing the best right now,
yes,
out of the district, and that's why they're the only two left. So it's going to be fun. There's just lots of things to talk about that game coming up that we can do in the next couple of days. We kind of got to move on. You know what I'm saying?
Time-wise. Got plenty of time week.
Plenty of time.
Well,
this week. We got 2 days.
It's kind of a short week.
Trying to get Dennis back for Wednesday, get his perspective
on
what's happened.
I don't know, and I noticed he was not on the call Friday night.
Oh, really? I did. I haven't gone back and listened. Darn it.
I caught a highlight, and I noticed. I watched some of it, but I watched without the sound.
Yeah,
apologies to the radio crew. I love them, but I just had it on while I was doing other things in the house and listening to music. We were putting Christmas stuff up, so guess what music we were listening to?
Yeah, I noticed. I noticed you had a tree in your in the back of your truck.
You want it?
No, I was going to ask you.
There's a story there, and we don't have time.
Well, here's what I was going to ask you, because I am a firm believer in the fact that at least at my house, the Christmas tree can't go up until Black Friday. Thanksgiving has to be over before the Christmas tree can go up. So I was wondering, and I feel like you kind of have that same philosophy. So I was wondering, did Jared steal the tree, kidnap the tree until Friday?
I was like the Grinch, and I stole it out of the chimney. Like, I just got it out of there. No.
Exactly.
No, we had to get a new tree because that tree failed us after
a bunch of years.
So many years. It was a pre-lit tree, decides not to light up anymore, so we string it up full of lights, and then it kept blowing fuses. Long story short, we put too many lights on it, and the tree's too big, so we have to had to have a tree that can handle the – anyway. So we got a new tree. That tree is a goner.
Yeah.
I've been thinking what to do with it. Do I dump it? Do I donate it?
I was thinking that was going to be pretty funny if you were driving around.
It's a 12-footer, so you're going to have the space in your house for a 12-foot tree if you want it. It's worthless. So I'm with you, man, the Black Friday thing. I'm totally with you. Well, that's an argument for another day.
I was enjoying the thought of you driving around with y'all's Christmas tree in the back of your truck so that you didn't put it up before Black Friday. Like, literally kind of the Grinch. I was enjoying that in my head.
No,
turns out it's not the case.
No.
Praying for Dennis then. Man, he's not going to probably won't be there this week either. So, dadgum. That stinks.
I don't know what's going on.
Hopefully that's on the text line there.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah, for sure. Birds Flat, as I mentioned, tied at half, and they Elmore City Purnell pulled away from them, but it's still fantastic year for the Eagles.
Yeah,
with the playoff win and just kind of building that program over.
Listen,
there.
Listen, they're gonna be a team you're gonna have to contend with now. It's not Burns Flat isn't the homecoming game anymore.
No,
with Coach Neyberger there, he has turned them around to be a perennial contender in that district and also deep playoff runs. So great season for them, and they will bounce back.
Yeah, that district took it on the chin this week with Hooker getting blown out by Cash, and Fairview was upset by Tonkawa, and then obviously Burns Flat. So District 1 out of Class A is done 2 weeks in after the three losses on Friday. So and then also in 4A, the other semifinal, Tuttle and Poteau, both those teams just rolled up easy wins. Tuttle 28-0 over Wagner. We were kind of interested to see what would happen with the defending champs and could they kind of make it a game. No.
Sound like they just couldn't get their offense going.
It sounds like that's the problem against Tuttle.
Yeah, that's the problem with Tuttle and their defense. Kind of like Clinton's defense. That'd be interesting if they meet up, but probably 7-0 in the final.
First one to double digits wins.
That defense is really good, and Wagner kind of, you know, burns flat. They're always going to be there. They're probably going to be one of the favorites next year.
Yeah, they lost everybody off the team last year. Still got, you know, a playoff win, but they're done. And then Poto pretty well blew out Blanchard. I think that maybe.
I don't know if that surprises me. I know I'm on the Poto train with.
Oh
this.
Yeah, you're the conductor.
I picked them there, man. I picked them to. I'm picking them this week.
45-14 over Blanchard. And so.
Surprised they're sending them the Jinx. I figured they'd send them more like Shawnee way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we talked about that coming home. Yeah, either like Tulsa area or somewhere down I-40.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jinx. Glad we're not going to Jinx. It's going to feel like the shortest trip of all time going to Weatherford.
Yeah. Man, still, the trip, though, puts us over the 2,300-mile mark.
We're going to mess around and get to Jamaica. Leave Cancun and get to Jamaica with one more win. The mileage is here. Look at the updated standings on the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. Hey, we had a text this morning, and I've had this happen to a couple of people with just a couple of weeks left. Here's the deal. If you get in there and it won't let you make your picks, like it says it's too early, even though it's Wednesday of the week or what have you.
Oh, that's okay.
What you got to do is you got to log off and log back into ESPN's website, and that clears that right up. We had this early on in the season. I hadn't heard anything, and then when we walked in this morning, there was a text message on our text line. 225-9698 is that number. So that's what you got to do. You just simply log out, you log back in, and then you're fine.
I've never had that. I've had it where, like, if I go into today, that it's too early.
Right, and if that persists, you just have to, that's what you got to do, log off and log back
on. Never had that. Interesting.
This weekend on the college football gridiron, man, Oklahoma State once again went out to Lubbock and just demolished the Red Raiders. The offense for OSU, maybe not to the level it had been. Injuries are part of that. I mean, when you looked up, a couple of offensive linemen were out with Sills and Godleski. Then you had Brennan Presley not able. He was the punt return guy, but that was it. Then you hear Tay Martin, you hear Jalen Warren. Some of those guys didn't practice much throughout the week, but went ahead and played. But it didn't matter because the OSU defense was just suffocating that Texas Tech offense to the tune of 23-0. What did Tech have? Just a little over 100 yards total. 108. 108 yards for Texas
Tech. I'm surprised it was even that. It didn't feel like.
Oh, my gosh. It felt like they went backwards every time.
Smothering is the best way to describe them.
So Oklahoma State punches their ticket into the Big 12 championship game. No matter what happens this week in the Bedlam game, OSU will be one of the participants in that Big 12 title game. Now the question is, will it be the Sooners or will it be Baylor? Oklahoma, just listen, it's time to just say that's the way those games are going to go. OU's not blowing anybody out. And, you know, they had multiple chances to really take control of that game against Iowa State on Saturday. Actually had it 28-14 with like 4 minutes left. And then all of a sudden the defense couldn't stop anybody until the pick there at the end on a terrible throw by Purdy. It's going to be a first down.
Well, when you finally double up Kohler.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, the guy was wide open.
You took him away, and then, he just made a horrible throw. But, yeah, that's the way it's going to go, I guess, for Oklahoma all year. If that's how it works, and to the tune of 10-1, so be it. Last week against Baylor, we said it. The defense played good enough, I thought. The offense stuttered. This week, I'm still impressed with the defense. Outside of when they made it 28-21, but how many sacks did they have? They were taking the ball away what, three times?
Yeah, three two picks and the
two
fumble.
Picks and the, what's going on? Yeah, I like music just like the next guy. That's weird. Just hit stop up top. There you go.
I think we're taking triggers. Hang on.
I heard that. I heard the guys on the other end. How dare they interrupt our show? Darn those guys. Anyways, my point is that the defense, with how OSU's defense is playing and how OU's defense has looked the last couple of weeks, I think Bedlam this year, you know, it could be a 28-21 final or even lower score. See what I'm saying?
Oh, heck, I have a hard time believing that any chance that
you think it's going to be a shootout?
OU scores 28 points against OSU.
Oh, well, my point is it's not going to be a shootout like we've seen in the
past. Oh, heck no.
Both defenses are the stars of these shows, not the offenses.
100% agree with that.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
So,
with the way OU's offense looked on Saturday, I mean, come on.
You thought after second play, offensive play for OU and Caleb Williams took it to the house, thought, okay, Caleb Williams might be back into his groove, but he's slumping and playing like a freshman, just really playing like a freshman.
Yeah, I thought Joel Klatt did a fantastic job there at one point in maybe the third quarter or so when they showed the camera angle from behind the OU offense and showed those guys running into a window, then into another one, and how the quarterbacks, Williams, it was right after Rattler played the one play and he dumped it down or whatever, mm-hmm. and then when they came back on the field, showing guys running, and you have to, and he mentioned it, you got to anticipate that next window or in that window because they're not just going to, this isn't high school, they're not just going to be wide open and you throw it to them.
Yeah.
You've got to fit it into different spots with those guys running the crossing routes across the field. I thought he did a fantastic job of showing Williams' hesitancy to pull the trigger. You know, and then all of a sudden he fired it in there to Mario Williams for the touchdown. But that was about the only time where he really kind of just rifled one. And that was on the run where there was nobody in the way.
Yeah.
He wasn't standing back there throwing it. And then, of course, on the pick, he showed, you know, another great view of it where you're reading the safety. The safety goes to the guy he threw it to. That meant the other guy run two, you know, a double seam route. Jeremiah Hall's wide open, but he wasn't. He had a defender closing, you know, from the outside. But you got to you fit it in there on the inside, and Hall makes the catch, and maybe even breaks the tackle and scores a touchdown. Instead, he threw it into three guys,
right?
Because he wasn't seeing the field at all, wasn't reading the defense at all. I mean, that was a one read play, where the guy in the middle, the safety, if he goes to the right, throw it left. If he goes to the left, throw it right. And he went to the right and he threw it right, and it was a pick, a tip, and a pick. I mean, just. You know, that things go fast, I think, a lot more than we realize for those young guys like that. Williams is clearly in his own headspace a little bit. And here's the problem if you're an OU fan. Iowa State's defense pretty good. It ain't nothing like what they're going to see on Saturday.
Of course.
And so, I mean, the idea that, you know, you're going to start seeing Williams snap out of this, yeah, I don't know, man. I just don't know. I think if Oklahoma's going to have any chance to win the game, Lincoln Riley's going to have to do something that he's not really accustomed to doing, and that's forcing the run game, forcing it.
Yeah.
Because if you look at these two quarterbacks and the way they've played lately, all of a sudden you're feeling a lot better about Spencer Sanders' ability to not make mistakes versus Caleb Williams' ability to not make mistakes, which is something that has flipped entirely on its head. And I do think that the way that OSU has played all year, kind of in that mode, helps Spencer Sanders a ton. And he's executing it really well right now to not just to have the thought of, you know what, a punt's okay. That hasn't been okay at OU in a long time offensively. But right now it kind of is. A punt's okay. It's better than giving the, you know, turning it over.
Right.
And that's something we're seeing.
You know, Turk's punt there, his final punt, it was a good punt.
Yeah, 63 yards.
Forced Iowa State to use a lot of time and two timeouts just to try to go down and tie it.
That's right.
I mean, that's a weapon, man. Hopefully we got all the gremlins out of our system and we get on through it. Aaron is contacting Jim, going to get him on the air, going to cover a lot of stuff with him, including all the games that happened yesterday, or most of the games happened yesterday in the NFL. One big one that we were watching, Aaron, was, of course, Dallas and Kansas City. Jim Steelers taking on Chargers yesterday. Some other good ones. I really enjoyed the Green Bay game to start things off yesterday. I think we got our man on right now.
Yes, we do. Joining us now is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, fellas. I saw the Elks one, huh?
Yes. Man, you know what? After, what was it, a 318-mile drive one way, 4.5 hours, probably about 6 in a bus. They went up and won 45-24. So for the first time since 2004, the Elks are in the semifinals of the playoffs.
That's awesome. Who they play now?
Unfortunately, they play Clinton, which has not been.
Yeah. Already beat them, right?
Yeah, already beat them 34-0. Clinton's won 24 of the last 25 times they've met. So obviously an uphill battle.
So the Elks are due.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. That's right. The Elks
are
due.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
That's exactly. We got a better chance than if they'd have lost on Friday night, because then there would have been no chance. No, it'll actually be. It'll be neutral. It'll be at Southwestern at Weatherford. So a short trip for both fan bases. I'm sure Milam Stadium will be jam packed full Friday night. Everybody gets your turkey eaten, get your shopping done, and then we'll all meet up in Weatherford.
A weekend it'll be! It'll be a great weekend for the Elk, all the Elk City people, and then Saturday is going to be incredible, man. Lineups of football. I mean, you got 10-1 Ohio State and Michigan. You got 10-1 Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and then you got, of course, the Auburn Alabama game, which could really tell people. I'm sure will be cheering for Auburn. So, what a weekend it's going
to
be!
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Let's go back to Saturday. Oklahoma kind of held on against Iowa State. OSU just strangled Texas Tech to set up the Bedlam matchup that you were just talking about. Down in Norman, I thought we finally saw the Oklahoma defense that we thought we would see, which is defensive line being totally disruptive. It ended up with 7 sacks. They were back there all game long. But even then, in that performance, it was still a nail-biter because, quite frankly, Caleb Williams looked like a true freshman against that kind of tricky Iowa State defense.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't want to be negative Nancy, but they needed a daggone weird play. I mean, one of the weirdest plays you'll ever see. I mean, remember, if that ball, the fumble goes somewhere else, I mean, there's 6 seconds left.
Right.
I mean, OU would have to try like a long field goal. And obviously, Berkic, I don't know what's wrong with him, but it goes perfectly, and Redmond makes a great play, and they score, and that's the difference in the game. So, OU's offense is struggling. There's no doubt about it. And Caleb Williams is, I think, has a chance to still be a great player, but, boy, he has got to figure out how to check down and throw the ball to short passes. I mean, he wants to make a massive play every single time he drops in the pocket. You can't do that. You just can't do it. And let me tell you, there's this team that has a defense that they're going to play this coming Saturday that if he does that, he's going to get obliterated because he's not going to have 4, 5, 6 seconds against OSU. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I think I said on TV last night, I think Texas Tech could still be trying to score. And they would. I mean, they could have 40 possessions if they weren't going to score a point. That is incredible. So this is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I can't wait. I still think OSU right now is the better team, but I can't pick them, guys. I'm sorry, I can't. Everybody's picking OSU. Everybody, but I'm going to have to see it to believe it.
You know, I thought Joel Klatt did a fantastic job, kind of middle to late third quarter, of showing some different camera angles from behind Caleb Williams, and kind of explaining what was happening as far as, you know, the OU was running kind of crossing routes on multiple levels, and how the receivers are going through the different windows, and how the quarterback has to anticipate that next window and deliver the ball before the guy is there. You know, this isn't high school where you just look out there, hey, there's the guy wide open, and you fling it. He's not anticipating any throws right now, it doesn't seem like. And to that point, then, you know, he's back there too long and ends up taking sacks or having to throw the ball away.
Well, you know what's unbelievable, guys? Usually when a guy is that great of an athlete and runs that well, a lot of times they leave the pocket too early.
Right.
So, I mean, they tell the quarterback, okay, now listen, you got to stay in there. He stays in too long. I mean, it's a really weird phenomenon with the guy. But, yeah, he is not – you're right. Joel Klatt was saying it perfectly. There are dudes that are open. You got to throw the football. And for some reason, you know, we were always taught as quarterbacks, most of the time on plays, that once the play starts, you see if the deep guy is open, and then you progress backwards,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of times, you know the deep guy's not going to be open right away. I mean, he might run 5 steps, and you know, okay, that safety's over the top. And then you progress. But it seems as if he thinks, well, maybe he will get open. Well, maybe they will get open. And when you do that, the whole play breaks down. So that's the problem that they're having right now. I think that the offensive line is doing a really nice job of pass blocking. I think they're not run blocking real well. But, you know, they're going to face, listen closely, by far the best defense they've faced all year. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, both Baylor and Iowa State have nice defenses. But on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, they're probably around a 6. I mean, OSU is like a 15. Mm-hmm. That's how good they are. They're just getting better and better. 108 yards they gave up. And remember, it seems like every team OSU plays, the week before, the quarterback played really well, right? You know, this young kid down there for Tech, people are down there, oh, this guy's got a chance. Good luck. He got obliterated. The kid that used to be at OU for Texas, at TCU, had no chance. So this defense is absurd, guys. It really is. And I don't know how OU's going to score a bunch of points on them. But I also think on the other side, we'll see if OSU can score on OU.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. OU's defense, even though it was a loss against Baylor, they looked promising, took the ball away 3 times, and I was really impressed how they kind of, you know, hemmed in Breece Hall to just, 58 yards. I mean, are we going to get a very, very low-scoring Bedlam this year?
Yes, I believe it is. I mean, I think you score 24 points in this game, you're winning. I really do. You know, unless there's just stupid, I mean, look, OU, if they don't have that unbelievable defensive play, they only score 21 against Iowa State. So, OSU, that place is going to be psychotic, fellas, up there Saturday night. It's going to be crazy. And this will be it'll be an interesting game for Caleb Williams. You know, after the game, Al Ishbeck on the postgame show said that if he doesn't play well, he would bring in Spencer Rattler. And then I said, well, guess what? Jim Knowles is praying for Spencer Rattler to come in.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I mean, I'm just saying, with his lack of ability to move,
yes,
they'll kill him. I mean, they will kill Spencer Rattler. Now, Spencer Rattler will check it down some, you know, and that's probably a good thing. But I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how OU's going to score points. But in this game, a lot of times OU does things that we don't expect. By the way, I wanted to say one thing. I thought, you know, the biggest play of the game, obviously, is the return for a touchdown. I thought the second biggest play of the game was when Harrison, after he got beat, returned the ball out of the end zone so they didn't get a safety.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, it's 14-7. That makes it 14-9 with them punting the ball, you know, away to Iowa State. I don't know what happens at that point, guys. I mean, I'm telling you, the touchdown by Redmond is already over at that point. So I thought that was a really impressive play. I mean, look, I've been down on Harrison all along. I don't know why the kid from the Morris kid can't play from Tennessee. I don't know what's going on there. I'm not there. I think Harrison, last year as a freshman, they told us he was going to be a star. I think the dude is very average, if you ask me. But after he did get beat on a really nice move, he picks that ball up and runs out of the end zone, guys. That was a big play that no one will talk about.
Oh yeah, 2 at the best, almost 7 at the worst. If he doesn't see it, and Iowa State ends up with a touchdown, and
good point.
Instead, then you got Turk back there with that cannon leg, and all of a sudden, Iowa State's snapping the ball from their own side of the field. Yeah, that was an enormous play, for sure. With the Bedlam game, I understand. I know Jared's going to pick OU because
whoa.
I know you are. You already pretty much have said that.
Oh, well.
You're going to pick OU because it's
Bedlam.
I'll
put words in my mouth.
You already said it.
I'm picking words in my mouth. Yeah, I'm picking OU.
It's just because of the same reason that Jim has. It's because
hard
to pick.
I understand.
What is Mike Gundy going to do?
I understand that. But the same things were said in 2011 in this game. And I know Jim.
Okay, stop now.
Wait.
I've got nothing else to say.
And the same thing was also said in 05, OU Texas, just because of the history of it, right?
You're right. I said it in 05.
Right.
I'm one of the ones. And listen, it'll stop at some point, and this might be the year.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I don't know if you guys are seeing, but Mike Gundy right now, 4th and 1, he's punting, right? So he does it all the time. 4th and short, he's punting because he knows about that defense. Well, I'm sorry, guys. I don't think they can do that in this game. I don't. I don't think so. Maybe I'll end up being wrong. Like I said, everybody is picking Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Everybody. But I'm going to have to see it to believe it. You know what? if OSU goes out there Saturday night and shuts OU out, okay, well then I'm an idiot. But I don't know if that's going to happen. I think that OU will do some things to make the game interesting. By the way, if OSU had won two of the last five, I'd be picking OSU.
Right.
It's that simple. But I'm not. I'm not going to do it.
Well, I want to see Mike Gundy do what he did Saturday night. The offensively, there's that was a halfback pass. I know it didn't work, but that's the stuff you got to do because you know Riley's going to come out and do stuff like that. He's going to do the gimmicky stuff. And Mike, if he just does the straight up boring vanilla offense, which is what he does almost every Bedlam game, there's no creativity in it. Then Riley would have the edge. I want to see more of that from Mike Gundy, and we get a really entertaining Bedlam game.
Jared, I've been saying it every year, dude. Every post game show after this thing, I obliterate Mike Gundy. And I'll tell you what, if they win this game, fellas, Mike Gundy, I think, is going to be the national coach of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, right? I mean, Tucker up there he's done. He's out at Michigan State. The guy at Wake Forest is out. They're not going to get Cincinnati has a chance, but I don't know if you give it to a guy who's playing some of the teams they're playing. So if they win this game, I think Mike Gundy could very well be the national coach of the year, guys. I really do. So it's all out there for him. I don't think that they have to run. Like in normal years when OU is a decent amount better than OSU, that's when I think you got to really do some things. But in this game, when I think it's really close, I think you still have to do some things. I'll tell you what, if first play from scrimmage, they run an end-around pass and get a big play, the players for OSU are going to go, we're going to beat your tail.
Yep.
We're going to beat their tail. But if they run it and three and out and punt it back and OU does some things, you know that those things are going to come up. It's that simple, guys. I mean, I hate to say it. I talk about it all the time. I think sports are hugely mental. The mental part of it is massive. And I think that something good has to happen for OSU early.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I'm sure a bunch of OU fans are mad at Tay Martin right now over what he said after the game. If I'm an OSU fan, I love that because it kind of gives you an idea of the way that these guys are approaching. At least he is. And you,
I
think,
didn't see it. Tell me, Skinny, what did he say?
He just said they were going to whip their A. But then he kind of clarified, he said, "But listen, that's what I think every time we step on the floor. And if I didn't think that, then maybe we wouldn't." But because it's this game, I'm sure it's going to be, blown out of proportion a little bit. But I love that
With all due respect, I think it's ridiculous that he said it. But that's fine. Whatever. You know what? Back it up.
Yeah.
Back it up. Yeah. But you don't really need. There's no reason in a game like this to fire anything out in the bulletin board. You know, there just isn't. Because I promise you, there's OU players that are thinking to themselves, "Ah, we beat these guys every year. Yeah, they're better maybe than they've been. I'm watching their defense, but." We're OU. Well, now when the dude says we're going to kick your butt, now they're like, oh, really? Okay, all right. So you can always awaken somebody. I don't know if anybody needs to be awakened for this game. I just don't like it, man. Talk. You know what? Do your talking with the way you play. Tay Martin dropped a couple balls the other night, did he not?
Yeah, touchdown for sure.
Yeah, just go play, man. Go play and win the game. Show that you're the best. And then say, hey, what? You know what? If we would have lost this game, we'd have been happy playing with them again, but we want to come after it. So that's what I would say. I mean, if I'm on this OSU team and we win this game after it's over, I would have said, look, we knew we had a great chance to win this game, but if for some reason we would have lost, we'd have been happy with playing them again.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. That would hurt. That hurts the other team really bad when you say, yeah, if we'd have lost, we still would have beaten them the next time. But you don't say it in that way, so.
Let's look around the country. My goodness, Ohio
State. By the
way,
last thing. Can I just say one last thing?
Yeah.
If OU loses this game, fellas, it is a horrible season for OU.
Oh, yeah.
Do we all agree?
100%.
I mean, a massive, massive disappointment. There is so much pressure on OU in this game. I mean, they've had a lot of pressure before, but this is one of the biggest pressure situations for Lincoln Riley I've ever seen. That's why I think what Jared, you said, is exactly right. I think Lincoln Riley will pull out all the stops in this game. So Bob Stoops, what he did up here when OSU was favored?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you had fake field goals. Yeah, all that stuff. Played three quarterbacks.
Wait, is OU favored by one? Is that what it is right now?
3.5 OSU.
Oh, I thought I saw one.
What? 3.5? What happened?
At last checked. I just checked it.
$1 million.
That's what
Are you kidding me?
Hang on.
It was a pick'em last week. That is crazy.
I think it opened at 3.
Got to be that defense.
According to Caesars, let me see.
Yeah, I'm on scores and odds.
That's crazy if that's true. Yeah. Really crazy.
Oklahoma State, 3.5.
Yeah,
wow.
That's what I'm seeing, okay.
And that just tells me, I think, they see this game as almost a pick 'em, but OSU's favorite because they're at home.
Well, and also, I've said this on the radio, fellas, Vegas can't stand OU. They don't think OU's good. The lines that they fired out for OU the last month or so have been kind of comical, really. So it's obvious that Vegas doesn't like OU.
Yeah, that's last week it was like Pick'em or OU even a 1-point favorite, right? That's going into the weekend.
Yep. Yes, that's right.
All right, let's look around the country. My gosh, Ohio State was awesome in that first half. You mentioned Mel Tucker and Michigan State. They just got steamrolled. Are the Buckeyes...
Yeah, and by the way, Tucker's officially out as a coaching candidate at LSU.
Are the Buckeyes the team that can try to give Georgia a game?
They got the best chance. When I watch Alabama and Ohio State's offense, you know what I think? That's what OU used to look like.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, that offense is unbelievable up there. And those two quarterbacks are, I mean, look, again, I still think Caleb Williams got a chance to be really good. And I'm happy that we're not talking anymore about the Heisman and all that stuff with him, you know. But those two kids at those places, he has a ways to go to be as good as them. I mean, I'm telling you, they're both incredible. I do think Ohio State, and I think what they did too, their defense, what they did, you know, because Michigan's defense is pretty good, and Michigan State scored on Michigan. Their defense really played well at Ohio State. So I'm telling you, guys, I want to watch Alabama against Georgia's defense, and I want to watch Ohio State against Georgia's defense. I don't know if I want to watch OU against Georgia's defense, but Georgia's defense is obviously the best in the country. And OSU's knocking on the door at second. I promise you that. So we'll see what the OU can do in that game. But Ohio State's offense is absolutely a machine. Fellas, they're going to have three dudes drafted in the first round, wide receivers.
Oh, yeah. Their wide receiving core, to me, you could pick out something from Georgia's defense, D-line, linebacker, defensive backs, or maybe all three. But Ohio State's receiving core – to me, is at least if not the best unit in the country. It's right there with anything anybody else can throw out, offense or defense.
I agree. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So, I mean, again, University of Oklahoma, we've been in situations with them like that. You know, maybe not three guys that could all go in the first round, but they've had those big-time players. And Ohio State's lighting it up right now. They are lighting it up. So, Oklahoma's going to have to try to keep up. They're going to have to try to keep up. And I'm tired of hearing about 4- and 5-star guys, by the way. I don't care how many stars behind your name. Go play.
Yeah, you think about OU in 2017, they had Andrews and Brown and then Lamb the next year were all three first-rounders. And how ridiculous. I mean, that ought to tell you a little bit of why things aren't as smooth. It's they don't have those guys with two first overall picks throwing them the football.
But let me say one last thing, though. The Mims is a tremendous player, but they don't throw him the ball. I mean, I'll bet you in a minute. I mean, I'm hoping that Marvin Mims' family is just kind of, you know, laid back and not like some of these other idiot families. But if his father was Rattler's father, he'd be on the daggone internet going, hey, why don't you give him the ball to my son, you know?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's very true. Okay, after all that's happened so far in the NFL, especially in the AFC. I mean, I was looking yesterday. I think 75% of the teams had a winning record, which is just nuts all the way past the halfway point. But are we right back to where we started the season? And even though they had a rough patch, the Chiefs are still the class of the AFC.
The Chiefs are definitely coming back. There's no doubt about it. I got to tell you, though, the team that I think is going to win it all is the Browns. I mean, I just love what the Browns are doing. Baker Mayfield. Oh, my gosh, man. I know, Jared. I know you got some Baker Mayfield boxer shorts on. I apologize, but Baker Mayfield, dude.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Yesterday, they won despite of him, you know, two interceptions and just – I mean, if he's hurt, get him the heck out of there. That's what I would say. They go to Baltimore this week, and we'll see what they can do there. But, yeah, no, this whole thing is crazy. Buffalo's falling down. The Chargers, and they let my Steelers with, I'll just let you know, fellas, 15 dudes not playing for the Steelers. I don't make excuses, but the Steelers, they had some guts last night playing all the way down to the wire with the Chargers. But I thought the Chargers were better. I don't know if they're very good. The Ravens, they're up and down. Look at Tennessee yesterday. I mean, yeah. Are you kidding me? Losing to Houston? So it's the AFC is psychotic. And frankly, the NFC is kind of wide open too, right? I mean, the Buccaneers aren't as good. The Dallas, your Cowboys yesterday, the Rams that I picked. I mean, this thing's going to be wide open when the playoffs roll around.
Yeah, I thought two games were just phenomenal. Jared mentioned earlier Green Bay and Minnesota. Man, that was a fun. That reminded me of like 2010 Big 12 game going back and forth there toward the end. And then last night, you're right, your Steelers looked like they were dead in the water midway through the third quarter, and then all of a sudden the defense makes a couple of plays, and they have the lead before the long touchdown there at the end for the Chargers. I thought it was a really good day all around the league. A bunch of fun games to watch throughout.
The NFL usually delivers every week, you know. Every week there's great games. There's so much parity. You know, teams like Detroit, yeah, they lost, but they lost by 3 points at Cleveland. The week before, they tied the Steelers, even though you guys know I don't think the Steelers are that good. But it's just crazy that Houston plays people tough. Jacksonville, I mean, these teams that aren't any good will play people really, really tough. So you never know what's going to happen in a game. It's really impressive.
Why, you know, I think everybody could say this 5 years ago, that Dallas's offensive line is a lot different without Tyron Smith, but it's proven to be the same thing right now. I mean, you know, the guy out there, Terrence Steele, the undrafted guy from Tech, every time he's been in there, he just got ran around. They replaced Connor Williams finally after all the penalties he gets on a weekly basis. But, boy, the Chiefs, we all know the Chiefs' defense hasn't been that good. It's gotten a little bit better, I guess. But, boy, yesterday, Chris Jones, you can talk about Chiefs' offense all you want to. Chris Jones was the difference in that game with 4 sacks, and it seemed like he was in Dak's face every single dropback.
And he was obliterating the All-Pro.
Yeah, running right through Zach Martin.
Yeah, right through Zach Martin. So, I don't know, man. The Cowboys are up and down and up and down. And they had, you know, no Cooper, and then Lamb goes out. I'll give a little bit of credit for that. But, you know, the defense can make some turnovers and stuff, but in reality, they're okay. They're not great. Look, if the Cowboys, I know that, you know, what happens around here and what happens nationally with a lot of Cowboy fans is the minute they start winning some games, suddenly they're going to win the Super Bowl. You got to crawl before you walk.
Yep.
If they could win a playoff game, if I'm a Cowboy fan, I'd be really happy with that this year. I really would. Now, the problem you have is that they're going to start losing some of these dudes. With all the money you're paying to Dak, all the money you're paying to some of your offensive linemen, Fat Boy is not fat anymore. You know, you're going to end up having to pay some of these other guys as well. That's the problem you have. So, I mean, the Cowboys, they better get it done here in the next year or two, because I think after that they probably go back down again.
Yeah, the draft is going to be super duper important to find cheap labor like they have with Diggs. I mean, yep. I know his greatness and his problems all at the same time, but he's, you know, definitely a good enough player. Parsons looks like an absolute superstar, but you got to do it while they're making nothing, though. That, like you said, because once you pay your quarterback, right, everything just kind of goes a totally different way. Hey,
that's what the Browns are dealing with,
yep,
right now. Yep. Fellas, I mean, I told you guys heard me say this on the radio. As a Steeler fan, I want him to give him $40 million. I mean, you give him as much as you can, because I know 3 years from now the Browns will be done. That's what happens in this league. You know, so, the quarterback is great. Look at Kansas City now. They're playing better now, but they lost all those offensive linemen. Their defense has been down. And you can't say that it's not one of the reasons why is because they had to pay their quarterback so daggone much money.
Well, 100%. So, I mean, Seattle 5 years ago, you thought they were going to be in the Super Bowl every year. And then Russell Wilson got paid, and whoop, there they went. You don't even realize they're playing in the league anymore.
That's why the Cardinals, what they've done is really smart. They've gone out and got all these players.
Yep.
Now, you know, J.J. Watt is hurt now, so that hurts them a little bit. But they go out and get all these players to say, let's win with this dude while he's on his rookie contract. Because eventually they're going to lose people. This is what the salary cap does, fellas. It's going to be – I don't know if there's ever going to be another New England, you know, because Brady took less money and Belichick would say, yeah, I don't want that many, but Brady and I could win. And they did. I don't know if they're going to see that anymore.
All right, we buried the lead.
What's that?
Did you see what was posted on social media yesterday?
Did it have anything to do with Russell Westbrook acting like a big old bad dude?
No, go ahead. Tiger Woods hitting balls.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Oh my God. Okay, fellas. Nice talking to you guys. Nice talking to you. What's he gonna do? Is he gonna come back and try to play a tour event? What's he doing?
I have no idea. It was just there right as the games were starting yesterday afternoon, I got out of church and then my phone, I looked up, there was all these notifications on Twitter and it was that Tiger Woods had posted a video hitting an iron shot on the range and I thought, oh boy. What's going on?
Oh my!
And Phil's already talking trash to
you. Yeah.
I hope that he doesn't come back and look ridiculous. But hey, the guy can come back. We'll see if he can come back from this. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. All right, Jim. Thanks so much for joining us. I can't wait. It's going to be a fun week. Are you guys working Friday?
Absolutely, we'll be on the air Friday.
Okay.
Yes.
That's for different purposes for me and my traffic and getting the schedule set up.
Oh,
but
no problem. Let me know anything you need. Let me know. I saw Gabe walking around at the game the other day.
Yeah. He was up there Saturday in Norman after he.
Maybe his wife and daughter.
Yep. They went to the game on Friday night at Grove, and then came back through and watched the OU game there on Saturday as well. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how some woman married Gabe, but that's another story.
He outkicked his coverage for sure on that one. There's no doubt.
We all have, by the way. We all have.
Yeah, that's very true. Hey, Jim, thanks so much. Podcast coming up, 2 o'clock?
Absolutely, today. Coming out today. It's a really good one. It's about Thanksgiving and some things. And I did one of the dumbest things you've ever seen in your life this past week. So I think people need to go. The Julie and Jim Traver podcast. Get it wherever you want. SportsAnimal.com/Traver podcast. Good stuff.
Now, do you just cook one turkey?
And I do two turkeys. I do one at I do one for the actual the dinner, and then I go do the one night before. That's just for sandwiches.
Okay, yeah, because I've got a two turkey cook this year myself. So,
oh yeah, I do a 10-pounder on the night before Wednesday night, and then I try to get around the neighborhood about 22 pounds for Thanksgiving. So I'm actually here in a little while. I want to try to find a turkey.
I'd say good luck. There wasn't very many at the Walmart here the other night, and it was pretty early for there not to be many turkeys.
I'll bang my way around if I figured. I'll go in the back and find one.
All right, Jim, have a great day, and enjoy your Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. The Ultimate Jim Traber joining us on a Monday. You can tell that the energy is high for what's coming with Bedlam.
Oh, it's going to be a fun week.
It's going to be a fun
week. It's going to be a back and forth Who's going to win? Who's not going to win? How's it going to go? I mean, there's going to be a lot of thought into it. You want to break that news?
Yeah, breaking news. Number 2 has been freed.
Mason Price
will be able to play for the Elk City Elks coming up on Friday. Great news. Have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.